I'd like to read to you this morning a poem that was written by my guru entitled, Where I Found Thee. I bow to thee in the silver rays. I drink to thee in the sunbeams. I stand in reverence before thy mountain majesty. I clasp thy image reflected in the lake. In the voice of the echo, I hear thy voice. I embrace thee in the calm caress of the breeze. I bathe in thy bubbling fountain of my bosom. The explosions of my passions have died away, and I hear thy whispers in the pines and in the gentle swish of the laughing waters of the lake. I listened to thy sermons through the voice of my reason. I beheld thee plowing the soil of my soul with trial and sowing the seeds of thy wisdom therein. Every day I watered the seeds sown by thee, but it was only when the sunshine of thy mercy came that those seeds sprouted, grew, and yielded the harvest of contentment. Suddenly the waters, nature's green carpets, the blue vastness overhead, the opaque stones, and my body became transformed into a vast mirror by the magic touch of my silence. And I saw myself reflected in everything. And when in concentration I looked at myself, I became transparent. And in my transparency, I could not find me, but only thee, only thee. What a poet he was. Everything that came forth from him was filled with the beauty of God. Our Bible reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These things are faithful and true. Pardon me. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See, thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy and this book, of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I came quickly, and my reward is with me. I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of this prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He that testified these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon you all. I'd like to read this to you. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to talk to you this morning about self-discovery. In all that I have read you in these two chapters this morning, it speaks of the soul's ascent into the heaven of its own being and of its oneness with God. It speaks of the six spinal centers. And in these centers, of course, we know that there are the positive and the negative forces. Now, the holy city of Jerusalem represents the consciousness, the holiness within man's consciousness. And as man ascends the spinal stairway toward his God realization, his consciousness constantly expands and expands and expands. Man, in the beginning of his spiritual evolution, must go within himself. He must create a mental synthesis and fix his attention upon that if he is to attain his goal. He must have a vision of what God is. And so when the desire of the devotee's heart is very great, when he is reaching out with all of his heart, his mind, and his soul, when his troubles, his worries, all of the things, experiences of his life have brought him to this moment, then God sends to that one himself in the form of a guru. And then the image of the guru becomes paramount in the devotee's mind, because that one is the epitome of God realization, the epitome of perfection, both human and divine. There's a story, Master told it in the days when I was with him, about a great saint by the name of Namdev. And Namdev had many, many followers all over this village. And people used to come and sit and worship at his feet. And he thought of himself as truly being the vessel of the Lord. There was also said to be a potter in the village who was a saint. And this potter went about his work every day and worshiped God through the form of making his pots. One day, the potter decided that he would test all of Namdev's disciples. He happened to be at a meeting that was being held where all of the devotees came before Namdev. So he went around and he tapped each one. Well, they thought the potter was very peculiar to be doing this, to tapping each one of them. But he did, and because he had the reputation of being a saint, they suffered it, thinking he was playing some kind of a game with them, and they didn't react to it. But finally, he came to Namdev, and he tapped him too. Namdev immediately bristled. And he said, How dare you touch me? And the man said, You have a cracked pot. So Anyway, Namzab's feelings were so injured that immediately he went into meditation and he said to the Lord, Lord, you know how great is my love for you. You know that I serve you. You know that there is no one else for me but you. Why have you done this thing to me? The Lord said, you have a cracked pot, Namzab. So he said, you must go to a certain village and there you will find your guru. You need a guru. I can give you visions. I can even teach you. But unless you have a guru, you cannot attain your final illumination. And this obviously you do not have. So he named the village and he named the saint. So Namdev went searching for the village and finally came to it. And he asked around for this saint. And everybody started to laugh. They said, that crazy old man, he is no saint. He is no saint at all. What do you want with him? But Namdev, following the instructions of Krishna, searched the village until he found the man. And there he entered into this place, and he saw an old man with completely disheveled hair, dirty, all the rest of it, lying on the ground. And he thought, well, surely this can't be my guru. And then, much to his horrified gaze, he saw that the man's feet were pointed toward a Shiva lingam. And in India, that is a piece of stone shaped like a phallic, but it is a symbol of humanity. It is not, as many people think, an object of sex worship. And so, being horrified, being a Hindu holy man, he thought, this is desecration for this man's feet to be facing toward the Shiva lingam. So he went up to him and he said, how dare you put your feet on that Shiva lingam? He said, well, my son, I'm a very old man. I am very decrepit. It is very hard for me to move. Would you please move my feet so that I can get away from the Shiva lingam? He moved his feet, and lo and behold, there was another Shiva lingam. He moved them again, and there was another one, and this happened and happened. And finally, he realized the greatness of this man who lay before him. And he said, oh, Gurudev, how can you ever forgive me? Will you accept me as your disciple? So the man got up, the saint, and he touched him on his heart and on his head. And immediately his whole being was flooded with light. And he felt the eternal bliss of God's presence. And no matter where he looked in this vision, he saw God everywhere, in every form, in every atom of space. So he went around wandering all over India in this ecstatic state of bliss. Finally, one day, he returned to his village. He went to his old place of meditation and he sat down to worship. Again, Krishna appeared to him in all of his form of beauty. And he said, Namdev, where have you been? I have missed you. He said, Lord, how could you miss me? When you were with me, every place I went, no matter where I went, no matter what I saw, there you were. You are with me now and always, everywhere, equally present. And Krishna looked down upon him and smiled and said, Namdev, now there is no more crack in your pot. So only when you see God in every single form do you really find him within yourself. Now, self-discovery is quite a thing. It's quite a journey. You start out when you are born to discover your little self. And you examine your fingers and your toes, and the baby's body moves constantly. It's in sheer joy of living. And it is reaching out for growth. It is reaching out to the world. It wants to express itself and to learn all about the worldly things. And the worldly parents teach it all of the things of the world. How to crawl, how to walk, how to run, how to enter into life, how to eat. The fact that the body must be kept thoroughly clean at all times. Good manners are taught if the parents do as they should. Above all, they should teach the child about God and the fact that God and the kingdom of heaven are within. But they do not always do that. And they themselves are not the example of that which they should be in order that the child might attain the knowledge of what it is in God. And this is so important. It is the most important thing in the world, that we be the examples of that which we say we believe. We must obey the Ten Commandments. We must watch our thoughts, our words, our actions. But the attention should always be upon that center, that source within ourselves. And if you teach the child to chant the name of God right from the beginning of his ability to talk, if you teach him to meditate, if you teach him that if he will put his gaze in the center of his forehead, that there he will see a five-pointed silver star, the star of the east within his own being, and that that is the gate to heaven. And if he but continue to gaze there in complete worship and adoration, that that gate to heaven will open, and one day he can go in and he can visit God and sit on his lap and have his arms around him. And God will speak to him, and he will speak to God. And it will be a tremendous experience, because God has the ability to give him everything his heart desires, all of the wonderful things of God's kingdom. And that is the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth. We have made of this earth a sorry place, because we have followed the things of the senses and of the little self. And we have ignored totally, in many cases, the fact that happiness, peace, joy, contentment, success, everything is to be had only when we keep our attention fully fixed upon God and nowhere else. Rise above your problems. If you have a problem that is bothering you, you must rise above it. Otherwise, you are dealing with a problem. You are not permitting God to do so. You must put your consciousness in the heaven of your own being. You must find that center within yourself. God, the eternal guru of us all, is seated there, but he has taken form of the outer guru. So concentrate on that outer form, because that one comes with but one desire, and that is to teach you the truth, to help you to realize that truth and the manner in which you may do so. They teach you all of the good things of life. They discipline you when it's necessary. But always the love of God is there in such great measure that you have no idea how great it is, until one day something happens and you have the blessed privilege of experiencing this eternal love of God, that love which forgives all things, all people, everything, and loves you. It is like the newsboy's story of a friend, the fellow who knows all about you and loves you anyway. That's the way the guru is. But they many times have to discipline the disciple, because only in doing so can they help them to rise above that little self. They have to take them out of the discovery of the little self and all of the pleasures of the world, all of the longings of the heart in the earthly sense, and fix their attention upon God alone, because it is only in him that you will find the answer to all things, nowhere else. Nowhere else. And when you start to get some of the experiences which come to you on the way up, visions perhaps, but turn those away. You will hear a voice speaking to you. You will hear your voice of intuition. But until you come to that point where you're willing to surrender yourself totally at the feet of God, giving him everything you are, everything you have, he will not be able to pick you up and take you to himself. That total surrender must come. Everything must be thrown into the ocean, including yourself, as I have said before. Don't forget to include yourself. You must desire only him. And having him, you have all things indeed. The world will never be set straight by hate. It will never be set straight by revenge. It will only be set straight by love of God. Love for God, one of the other. We have to be very careful of the seed that we plant, because we can plant in one hole the seed of a rose, which will spring forth into a beautiful rose bush and bring forth exquisite roses and perfume. And we might plant in the other hole this deadly poisonous weed, which is called nightshade. And we reap the harvest from that. So whatever we sow, that we reap. And I want to emphasize that to you very, very strongly. That every single moment you have free will to choose this or that. To go with God or to go with the opposing force that is trying to keep you from God. It is all God, because there's nothing but God in this universe. He is the creator of all things, of all people, of every single thing that exists on this earth. God created, and therefore he is an integral part of it. But as he goes out, he goes away from himself, so to speak. He sustains himself, and then he returns to himself. And as he goes out and returns, he seemingly opposes himself. And this is his play. It is the same method of operation as within our own beings. We have a positive and a negative force within us. And the positive force goes out, and the magnetic force withdraws constantly. We are a part of this duality, which is in the oneness of God. And until we can overcome this, then we cannot reach our highest goal. In this chapter this morning, it tells about the seven vials. These, of course, are the seven spinal centers. And the angels are the forces in each one of the spinal centers. These are the 12 tribes, because the six spinal centers multiplied by the two forces which oppose each other are the tribes which are constantly fighting each other over the soul, the battle of the soul. It goes on constantly. Many experiences come to us. We are tested, and sometimes we fall. That is human nature, and we should not beat ourselves to death about it. We should not put a burden of guilt upon us so heavy that we are able to get from under us, but rather we should spend that effort, that energy, in placing our full attention upon God. If you keep your attention upon the wrongdoing that you have done, then you give power to it. But if you take your attention away from that and put it upon God alone, then you are gradually changed into his image and into his likeness. The self-discovery happens step by step. We set ourselves, when we get on the spiritual path, the supreme goal of realizing our oneness with God. We may go to many churches, many of them Orthodox, some of them nature worship in the beginning. But gradually, as the soul evolves through incarnation after incarnation, it seeks ever higher knowledge and commitment to God. And so you go to various churches, perhaps of new thought. But one day, when the soul is crying out and says, all of this is counterfeit, all that I'm being taught on the outside, this is not the truth. I want to know the truth, the kernel of the parable. And he looks at this verse that is in the Bible where it says that Jesus spoke to his disciples and said to them, to you it is given to know the mysteries or the truth, but to others in parables. Lest, I don't remember the exact quotation, lest they get something which they have not earned before they have earned it. Because don't forget that God realization is the pearl of great price. Great price. No master, if he be truly a master, will touch just reach out and touch a disciple and say, I give you God realization. They may give them an experience to whet their appetite. But unless you see signs and miracles, you will not believe. And the true guru doesn't operate in that fashion. He helps you to become the greatest of that which you can become. He is the one who comes out of the heart of God to take you out of the darkness into the light of God's everlasting presence. He has nothing for himself but the ability and the privilege of taking you there. And yet what a beating he takes. He gives of his all, everything he has, his heart, his mind, his soul, his possessions, which he knows are not his, always, constantly. And yet, what does he get in return? Resistance, resistance, resistance. People go their own way instead of listening. It is pure lip service. We must wake up. We must discover the real self. But one day, something happens. And it usually takes some really tremendous experience to turn the disciples' face completely and absolutely to God. Because through their own misuse of their own free will, they are met face to face with an obstacle which seems greater than they can hurdle. And then it is that they cry out to God. But this is the most beautiful, the most wonderful experience in the world. Because it is at that moment that, seeing the error of his ways, the disciple really starts to feel his heart's desire to be cleansed, to be perfected, to reach out for the ultimate, which is to be found only within himself. This experience is absolutely necessary, because you lay yourself on the table, your little self, and you dissect it with a scalpel of discrimination, of understanding. For the first time, you see what this little self is all about. And you find that it is the Antichrist, that which opposes everything which is of God within you. That is the real Antichrist that it speaks of in the Bible. And the real Christ is that Son of God which is born and is inherent in every single creature. He is the firstborn of every creature, it says in Colossians. Firstborn of every creature. And it is only when he sees himself as he really is in all of his humanness that he becomes self-revulsed, self-disgusted, and then he reaches out to discover his higher self. He puts his feet upon the rung of the ladder of God realization, and he starts really to climb with all of the sincerity of his heart and his mind and his soul, because he knows what suffering is, and he knows that if he doesn't do it, that he's going to be destroyed, as it says in the last verse of the last chapter that I read to you. But don't forget that the chapter before that says this. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just as you have a second birth in God, unless you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Also, if you do not live up to what God within you has put before you, if you do not put your full attention upon him, then these other things will happen and you will have an ordinary second death and be brought time after time after time back into existence again until finally you learn your lesson and you have been through so much sorrow, through so much suffering, that you never want any part of it, and you say, "Oh Lord, have mercy on my soul." Remember the famous prayer of the Russian pilgrim, "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on my soul." That is called the prayer of the heart. And the Russian pilgrim went about the countryside saying this thousands of times every day. The prayer never left his lips until his mind became so inebriated with God that all that he saw was God everywhere, the light of God. He felt the bliss of God. And so it is with any of us who will take the trouble. If instead of wasting our energy and talking about things and talking about others, we will keep God's name upon our lips, if we will lift ourselves out of this human consciousness and its desires and desire him alone, then he will lift us up. He will take us to himself. And we will find indeed that all of the great promises of the Bible have come true. He gives us life everlasting. It is not that the body will not disappear, but the soul, that part of God which is inherent in every single creature, which is the center of his being, the power, the intelligence, the light, the everything that is good, that one will take over the kingdom. He will shed his outer garments from time to time, but he will become a messenger to return to earth time after time after time until the whole earth is lifted up and everyone will know the true meaning of peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. You cannot harm your brother and hope to live in peace. You cannot. You must listen to the voice of God. You must do as he directs you. And that way you will do everything for the highest good of all concerned. I remember the prayer that Master gave me so well one time when I had written him. I was in deep trouble. This prayer was this: Beloved indwelling presence, my part of God, you see to it that this problem, Naaman, is taken care of in complete harmony, wisdom, and justice for the highest good of all concerned. And if you mean that with all of your heart, and you put your mind not on your problem but upon God alone, then He will lift you up. He will put the thoughts in your consciousness. He will put the energy in your body. And He will put the words that come from your tongue, from your mouth. And they will be words of wisdom. They may hurt somebody, but they will be His will, because it isn't always right for us to be cushioned in something. Sometimes we have to take the reward for our own actions or the punishment. And this is not easy to do when it's a punishment instead of a reward. But if we will realize that this is God's hand working, and that anything that we get every moment of our lives is what we have written upon our own foreheads with our own hands, that if this is God's will for us, we will have no difficulty. We will look at the problem. We will dissect it. We will see the error of our own ways, and we will make the firm resolution to rise above those errors, to put the so-called sin of separation away from God, and find our oneness with Him. All of these things we will do. And it is only that, only then, when the purity of the heart shall be revealed to you. The purity of the heart. And when that happens, then he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And you will have power over all of the things of heaven and of earth, within your own being and without. There is not a thought I think. There is not the slightest wish or desire of my heart that is not granted today. I think it in the next moment, the next day it is there. I'm almost afraid to think. But the glory of God's love for me, His abundant care for me, I wouldn't trade for all the worldly riches there are. Take this truth which I give you. Meditate upon Him morning, noon, night, in between. Take His holy name and keep it on your tongue. Lift yourself, give yourselves to Him alone. Make Him the pole star of your life, and indeed, you will have life everlasting. Now let us pray.
O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty.
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence.
Of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
In every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
My heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
I kneel in adoration at Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
I feel the power of Thy perfection
surging in every cell of my body.
Surging in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love. O Heavenly Father,
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. And bring them to thee.
Ooh.